And we now turn to our ongoing coverage of Puerto Rico and the island's economy. Puerto Rico was already experiencing a debilitating debt crisis when Hurricane Maria devastated the island in 2017. But in 2016, Congress passed a law called PROMESA that established a special board to help the island find a way out of its debt, partly through dramatic austerity measures. Behind the scenes, however, a secretive consulting firm called McKinsey & Company has been driving much of the PROMESA board's policies, and its practices are raising many questions regarding conflicts of interest. Andrew Rice is a contributing editor at New York Magazine, and he's been closely tracking McKinsey's work on the island. Andrew, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the basics. How much is Puerto Rico in debt for now?
Well, there are a couple different ways to tally it up. If you want to look just at the amount that they owe bondholders, people who bought municipal bonds on the open market over the years from Puerto Rico, that number is about $74 billion if you add up all the various different types of bonds. But then some people actually add on top of that another $50 billion in unfunded pension debt that Puerto Rico has promised to government workers. So you can either total it up as $74 billion or in and around $125 billion. Either way you total it up, it's a staggering sum and far larger than any comparable bankruptcy in the history of the United States.
Now, of course, we know that there was a board called the PROMESA Board that was established in 2016 under then President Barack Obama. Who is on the board? Who is paying for the board? And can you give us a sense of what the board has been doing thus far?
Who is on the board is it's actually a fairly technocratic group of folks that they were appointed via a very complex politically brokered process, sort of half Republicans, half Democrats, roughly. Four of the seven members were born in Puerto Rico, although only one of them, I think, actually lives in Puerto Rico at the moment. Their responsibilities are basically, first is to oversee the bankruptcy process, which is a federal court proceeding in which a bunch of creditors, mainly hedge funds, are fighting to get money back, as much money as they can get paid back from Puerto Rico. And a federal judge is overseeing that. It's a very complex process, involves a lot of settlements and negotiations and so on. The second half of the board's job involves a full restructuring of Puerto Rico's government, basically so that this doesn't happen again, to cut costs, to save money where it's possible, because in order to pay back those creditors, the money has to come from somewhere. It's going to come from Puerto Rican tax revenues. And so those tax revenues that normally might have gone to government services are going to be going to servicing this enormous debt. As far as who's paying for the board, that's an easy answer. That's the Puerto Rican taxpayers. Under the law that was passed, Congress basically said this oversight board kind of is Puerto Rico's responsibility. So $1 billion of Puerto Rican taxpayer money is going to consulting firms and law firms and companies like McKinsey.
I was just going to say, so McKinsey is a massive consulting firm here in the United States. PROMESA hired McKinsey. How much are they paying McKinsey to do whatever it is that they're now doing? And we're going to get into that in a minute.
Well, they're paying them around currently sort of their contracts total. It fluctuated a bit over time according to their responsibilities, has grown over time. But it's right around $3 million a month now that they're paying McKinsey & Company, the global consulting firm. And the total amount as of January, I think, was in and around $73 million so far that the board has paid McKinsey, which is a pretty huge number in real terms, but certainly in terms of Puerto Rico, that's a huge number in a place where the median household income is, around $20,000 a year.
All right, Andrew, stick with us. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back to talk more about McKinsey's role in Puerto Rico. Let's talk about some of the conflicts of interest here when it comes to looking at this idea with McKinsey. Is McKinsey profiting from the island beyond being paid by PROMESA?
Well, yes. Actually, it's important to say that there was an investigation into what I'm about to tell you. And that investigation, which was commissioned by the Oversight Board, found that there was no conflict of interest. Now, what one might reasonably question the motives of the investigation, because the Oversight Board is quite dependent on McKinsey's advice, and it would be difficult, as an anonymous federal government official told me, you know, McKinsey's doing everything for the board. If they left, the board would basically cease to function. But there was a controversy that arose about McKinsey's role that had to do with, as I said before, their bondholders in this bankruptcy case. Bondholders are basically trying to get paid their money back. A lot of them are hedge funds that bought this debt speculatively, basically in the distressed debt market, where they paid pennies on the dollar for the bonds, essentially. And so any settlement that gets made with these bondholders that's higher than what they paid, the very depressed price that they paid for the bonds on the open market, is a profit for them. Well, it turned out, you know, when people started poking around the bankruptcy filings, it turned out that there's an entity, a couple of entities actually, that own Puerto Rican bonds that in turn were either managed by or had large investments from an entity called the McKinsey Investment Office, which is has about $12 billion in assets under management. Supposedly, it's the retirement fund for McKinsey Partners, but really it operates like a very sophisticated hedge fund, and they are players in the financial markets, just like any of these other hedge funds that are parties to this lawsuit.
What is the impact so far on the Puerto Rican community, the Puerto Rican people? What has this done to their everyday lives?
Well, I mean, I think it's hard to overstate the effect that this has had on Puerto Rico and life on the island. It's somewhat difficult to disentangle from the effects of the hurricane, but it pre-existed the hurricane. Public sector employment in Puerto Rico is a far larger contributor of the sort of overall employment on the island, percentage-wise, than in any other state. So you've got this very important public sector: teachers, police officers, garbage men, etc., are actually, you know, this is the kind of lifeblood of Puerto Rico's economy. So this kind of complete overhaul of the Puerto Rican government, which involves a lot of what they call right sizing, but that's, you know, really a euphemism for reductions in staff, reductions in benefits that the government employees have. This had a really huge effect on Puerto Rican life. Just to take one small example, around 1,700 officers have left the Puerto Rican police force in the last 3 years. A lot of that has to do, union leaders say, with, you know, low morale as a result of all these benefit cuts, being asked to do more with less, and so on. And the fact that Puerto Rican police officers, as American citizens, can get on a plane, fly to Orlando, and find a better paying job quite easily. Consequently, there's been this huge upsurge in crime in Puerto Rico. The head of the public safety department said, meanwhile, the oversight board was, you know, creating red tape around his efforts to requisition bullets. So on the one hand, police officers are leaving. On the other hand, the guy who's in charge of trying to deal with the crime wave feels like he's not able to buy enough bullets for his police officers, which obviously seems like a very basic thing for police officers to have, especially during a crime wave involving gang violence.
Andrew Rice is a contributing editor at New York Magazine, and he's been closely tracking McKinsey's work in Puerto Rico. Andrew, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.